record on. Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode 300, guys, I told you it's going to be a special one. I got a longtime friend of mine in the building, so we're going to chop it up, talk basketball. So we're getting ready for the new season ahead, so we're going to chop it up and get a few questions out. And plus, I'll play some of my rants from past shows. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, episode 300. We are here. So thank you for tuning in. And on the show today, I got my good buddy from, we go back to the mid-90s there, working together at MSG, and we chopped it up about basketball. Now he coaches AAU. He'll talk about that later on. My brother in the Lord and my brother as far as everything else, Omar is in the building. Big O, what's up?
Oh, man. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. I think long overdue. I've been waiting to get on your show. I think, listen, this is your passion. I've known you for since 97, late 97. Your passion is undeniable. Your wisdom. I mean, we go back since then talking basketball, football, all that stuff. And you just amaze me. I've learned a lot from you. And I'm just happy to see your 300th episode and be part of it.
Thank you. I appreciate you, brother. You know that. So without any further delay, we're going to get right into it. The NBA season is just around the corner, guys. In fact, it's next week. So, So we got a few questions here for my brother. So we're going to get started. So without any further delay, let's get into it. Right now, you're talking about, first of all, before we talk about the NBA itself, inside the NBA, a staple, a part of the NBA, now has moved from TNT, and now it's going to ESPN and ABC. In fact, now they have a 20-day schedule for it. And it's 10, they're on 10 days on ABC, 9 days on ESPN, and then Christmas, where they have the joint days. So let's talk about that. Omar, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll be honest. You know, I just was checking that, and you're right. Exactly, 20-day schedule. It's weird to me because it's been part of the culture for many years on TNT. So to see them move, you know, I think the fans are going to feel like they're losing something. And then not to mention, I think you got to now pay. If you don't have that app or you don't have that subscription, you got to pay. So, I mean, I think it's a shame for the fans. And a mistake, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm of that agreement. You know, this, like you said, it's a staple for a lot of people. I watched the clips of it. You know, I don't watch the entire show. I got to be honest with you. You know, I could take some of those guys, but so much. You know, Kenny I like because he breaks stuff down. But you get Barkley talking about my Knicks, Shaq too. I can't go for that. So, but Ernie, you know, Ernie's the professional over there. I love Ernie. But, so it's a staple for a lot of people. But I don't think this is going to work, to be honest with you.
No, I don't see
20 days. And then, mind you, they're going to be there for the opening week. And then they don't come back until November. I'm like, what is that?
You got to wonder. There has to be something. I remember a legend in sports entertainment, Jesse the Body Mantor, would say, if you want to know what's going on, follow the money. So there's some kind of way that there's money involved in this. I would have to think that it's some kind of deal that is going to be lucrative for the NBA for them to do that, because it just doesn't make sense otherwise. So something had to happen to cause this. I'm curious to see in the weeks and months to come what comes out about why they really made this move and where it ends up at.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. So It's just very puzzling to me, but at least people will get it in some form, but I don't think it's going to last. Not in this form and fashion. So what are you going to do? So that's that bit of news. Let us move on. The New York Knicks, a team I'm passionate about. My boy Omar, passionate as well. Your prediction for wins and losses for the New York Knicks.
Wow. I mean, well, passion is even an understatement. I mean, that's one of the first things we talked about when we met over 25 years ago was the Knicks and your Giants at the time, and then my Dolphins on. So the Knicks, I think if healthy, and I know some people are going to say no, I think the Knicks, a healthy Knicks team, could win 60 games this year. I'm predicting 58-24. I think they'll be 7 games better than they were last year, only because of the offense they're going to run. I think we're not going to lose anything on defense and gain a lot on offense with Mike Brown. Tom Thibodeau was a good coach. I don't think anybody can knock him. He changed the coach. And that's not at all what I want to appear to be. But if you got to look at it, Thibs been fired everywhere he's been because he doesn't adapt. And I think his offense is not good. It's too stagnant. I think Mike Brown is going to bring a different offense. He was very successful with Golden State. Look what he did with the Kings before they canned him out there, which was unjust, by the way. So I'm really expecting some good things from him, and I think he's going to get us over the hump.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. 51 wins was what they got last year. I think they can at least get 6 or 7 more wins. Their schedule is favorable. Right now they have a long homestand. They got a 6-game homestand, which I like. And their road trips, they don't look as daunting as it did in the past. They have 2 5-game road trips and then a 4-game road trip. Of course, you know, they're going out west. They do that in November. And then also in January, they got a 4-game road stretch. And then, you know, around the Big East, they usually go on the road then. So that's a 5-game stretch. But it's not as daunting as it was in the past, I don't think. And they have 14 back-to-backs, which I think they're in better shape for back-to-backs this year because Mike Brown's going to go to his bench. So you're not going to see a guy like Mitchell Robinson play back-to-backs, I don't think.
14 back-to-backs. I have to write that down. He won't play back-to-backs. He might not even play he might not even play 65 games. And he shouldn't, because we need him for the playoffs. I don't see it. I mean, his injury history doesn't say that he'll play a lot of games. And I think what you I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Yusebly, I don't think that you need him to, because you're going to run him at center. Ooh, and he's pretty durable, and he got a good shot.
Oh, Yusebly, yeah.
Yusebly. I always say that brother's name wrong. Forgive me, Yusebly. Right. I think that he's going to really give us a spacing that might – remember, Mike Brown loves spacing, and he loves them. He loves them threes. So he could actually go with a 5 that could shoot threes when Towns is resting. So, I mean, I think they're probably going to start Towns at the 4. I don't know. It's looking like that. Interesting to see where they go with that. But I'm of the mindset that they're going to go 9-10 deep, which we know is at least 2 more than what Tibbs did on. So, I think just that alone is going to keep their legs fresh, and I think that's going to help win games, because they're going to be a run up and down the court team. You see that already. He's going to try to run y'all.
Yeah. Now, I saw I think I sent you a video, too, of a show that I watch, Knick Fan TV, and they had Alan Hahn on there. And his concern was size. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you got Yusebly, Hakpoti. I guess you're going to give him some run. I think they're okay with size, but I can see where he has an issue with it, where they don't have enough of it. So I think it's up to a guy like Hakpoti to kind of grow up a little bit.
But I actually like him. I think he was underutilized by Tibbs because he don't go to the bench. I'm hoping Mike Brown gives him some time. I don't think he needs more than about 10, 12 minutes a game, if that. But there's no reason why he can't go off the bench and give you 10 minutes.
He
got a little around the rim game. I like him.
Especially on those nights where you just said yourself about Mitchell Robinson not playing the back-to-back. If you're playing a guy like Hot Porty, he could get his feet wet.
And again, those are nights you want to give him that. Because it would be, well, we know 100% Mitchell not playing back-to-backs. 100% he's not doing that. And I think they're going to hold him out in general, probably against weaker teams that we should beat without him. And again, I think you need to do that because he is a difference maker on defense, and we're sure going to need that in April. So you know what I'm saying? So I'm all for it. Normally I say I'm not really with the modern NBA's rest approach, or they call it
load management.
I hate that name. I'm saying load management. I mean, we come and I know you do too. We come up from the Riley days and the Chuck Daly's and the Lenny Wilkins and Phil Jackson. These guys didn't rest guys, man. You played with a sprained ankle. They taped it up and sent you out there. Now, I'm not saying that was the best option, but in this day in NBA, you have to do it. So it's the way of the world. You got to adapt. And I think they got the depth, and I think they got the size. I disagree a little with Han. I think that they got enough size to win if they use it right.
Right. Yeah. So when he said it, I was like, okay, he's talking if they start Mitchell Robinson and Cat, of course. And then you have Ubaldi come in. He can sub either one. He's not taking into account Hot Porty, which you and I are talking about. No. So I think he should
get 10 minutes a night. I don't think that's asking a lot.
No.
5 minutes each half?
Not
5 minutes each half. I think it'd be the right move. I think it would keep that staying fresh. It would keep Mitchell Robinson fresh, and he needs that. Like I said, his injury history hasn't been good. So you gotta play what you got, but you gotta be smart about it.
Yeah, I agree. So you're saying 58 wins?
I'm saying 58 with the possibility of 60 if everything clicks. I'm not saying 60. I'm saying it wouldn't shock me, but I'm saying they go 58 and 24. And win the East.
I'm going to go a step further. I think they get 60 wins. I'm going out on that ledge, brother. I think 60 wins they could get.
Yeah, you walk in the plank with that one. But get it.
Yeah, I think they could get those 60 wins.
I think they can. Would you ask me to tell you what I think? I'm going to say 58.
Think about what Cleveland did last year when they added Kenny Atkinson. So that's my thinking. You're bringing in a guy who's coach of the year material.
Absolutely.
Into this situation. I won again. I'm going on the ledge, brother. 60 wins.
everyone, I'm on record 58, but I could see 60.
Okay. So we're kind of on the same page. Me just going more crazy than you.
You willing to call the 60. I'm saying potential.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So there we go. All right, so that is our Knicks. We talked about them. Now, outside of the Knicks and Cleveland, I think they're going to be the top two in the East. I think there's no debate about that. Who's your next set of teams underneath?
In the East or overall?
In the East.
I'm going to have to go with Atlanta and Orlando. I like what Orlando did. I don't think they did enough to catapult them over the Knicks or Cleveland, but adding Bane was big, man, because I think Bane can ball. Yeah. Another thing, he has an injury history, so I don't know about that, but if he stays healthy, Orlando's no walk in the park, man.
Yeah.
And we all know what Atlanta got. I would actually put Orlando ahead of Atlanta because I don't trust Kristaps Porzingis' injury history. And Atlanta getting him, I don't know. I don't know if I see the reason for that one. But I get it. They want to add a stretch five maybe. But, man, if he's not healthy, you don't got a stretch five. You got somebody who a stretch five when only he can play. So I don't know if that move was going to benefit them. But time will tell.
Yeah. I'm in the same camp with you with Orlando. I think Orlando ceiling is big. Last year they had the two injuries to – Franz Wagner and to Paolo Banchero. That derailed their season. Yeah. Both of them had the oblique injuries, so that really derailed their season. But I think the key for them is Jalen Suggs. He has to be healthy. Jalen Suggs holds the key for them, in my opinion. I think Franz Wagner, you're going to get your best from him. Boncaro, you know, he's all-star material. Absolutely. I think Jalen Suggs holds the key for them. I like the addition of Bane, but like you, the injuries scare me. It really does. But he has the potential.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He has the potential.
But if you ask me, behind Cleveland and the Knicks, I think Orlando will be the team that I say probably ends up the third seed.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you a team. I'm not sold on Atlanta. Like you said, I have trepidation about Porzingis. And Jalen Johnson, their center. I'm not the center. The forward. He's hurt a lot, too. So, backcourt is fine with Trey and Dyson Daniels. And Okongwu, I thought Okongwu was going to end up being the center there. But you bring in Porzingis, you kind of slow down his progress. So a team I'm big on is Detroit. Detroit I'm big on.
It makes you – what are you thinking? I love the stretch. Detroit?
Well, last year they were among the top six. I don't see why they can't be again this year. Plus, remember – Jaden Ivey, they didn't have him for their playoff run.
He sure didn't.
So, and they did add firepower as well.
I got them at the fourth or fifth. I mean, I got them fourth or fifth, maybe leaping ahead of Atlanta. I don't put them ahead of Orlando, the Knicks, or Cleveland. And here's why.
Yeah.
Detroit, while they're a young team, the caveat there is Jaden Ivey. I agree. Outside of that, they haven't upgraded the team, brother. So I don't know.
Unless well, they did tell fortify me. Their bench. They did fortify their bench. They brought in Caris LeVert. They brought in Duncan Robinson.
I mean, Caris LeVert, I don't know how much a game changer he is, brother.
I don't know how much he got left in the tank. He's a good player now.
You know, Cleveland kind of said, you know, deuces to him. So I don't know if he's the case. Okay, Duncan Robinson, I get it, the shooter. Again, I don't know if they're needle movers, brother. They did increase the bench. You're right. So you got to give them that. I just don't know how much those two guys moved the needle to put them much ahead of what they were last year. I said right. I got them fourth or fifth. I mean, right. You never know. Things click. You know, you never know.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, but I do like them. Milwaukee. I think they'll be amongst the top six. I think they will because you still have Giannis there. And, you know, he's tripping these days about, you know, wanting to be in New York. He's not really saying, but he's saying. So I don't know if that happens or not.
Well, I'll say something briefly about that. And you may do one. Yeah. I don't want Greek Freak.
Oh, you sound like a buddy, friend of the show, D.
I don't want... No,
he says the same thing.
Let me correct that. I would love Greek Freak if he could be a free agent. So that sounds crazy. That I don't want him. I want him, but not what they would have to give up to give him. Remember what happened with the Carmelo Anthony trade?
Yeah.
Remember that. That team was clicking with Mike D'Antoni, and they had Woodson on the bench as the defensive coordinator. That team was clicking. They made that trade, gave up Timothy Mozgov, Gallinari, Felton, and Wilson Chandler, and they got Carmelo and a agent Billups.
Yeah.
Changed the whole season, brother. So learn from your mistakes. I won't do that move. If I'm the Knicks, if I gotta give up Morning Towns and maybe, and I don't even want to say Deuce, because I think Deuce can be good for us in the Mike Brown system.
Yeah.
And I know they won't do this. A Towns, Dottier. Two picks, I do it. Outside of that, I stay away from it. And I know that won't be enough to get a Greek Freak. So that's why I'm saying
I wouldn't. Yeah, they're not giving away Greek Freaks. So, and the Knicks still have some draft capital, not a lot of it, but.
And they need that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But Milwaukee is one of the teams I think will be amongst the top six just by happenstance. So Boston, I think, will be competitive. Will they be amongst the top six? I'm not sure.
I don't know, brother.
Too many question marks at the center position. Too many center question marks at the power forward.
Maybe I'm wrong, brother.
Joe Tatum.
I got Boston struggling to make the play-in tournament, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. I can see that. So, yeah. So, all right. So, that's that bit of business. Let us continue. OKC, your defending champs. Do you think they can repeat?
Absolutely. I think they should be the favorites to repeat. As much as I want my Knicks to be the favorites, I can't say that. I got Oklahoma repeating. Now, I think New York with a Mike Brown type offense can compete and get it done in the finals. But if you twisted my hand and asked me, if you said you got to put your house up out collateral, you got to make this bet. If I had to bet, I'd pick the OKC to repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm in that same boat. If there is a team out there that could compete with them, most likely in the West, because it'll take a Western team to knock them off. Who are you looking at?
I mean, you see, Denver didn't do much to upgrade. I would have said Denver, because with the joke over there, oh, my God. I just don't see anybody in the West that I really see knocking them out, with the exception of Denver, and they didn't upgrade. Because they pushed them seven games last year? So, but they didn't do much. So, if it was anybody, it would be Denver. But I just don't see anybody knocking off OKC.
Remember, too, they didn't bring back Russell Westbrook. I don't know why. They did bring back Bruce Brown. So you have a Swiss Army knife guy in him. Wow. I think the whole thing hinges on, remember, they dealt Michael Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson.
Yeah, they did.
So I think a lot hinges on Cam Johnson, what he's going to give you. He has a lot of promise. He's younger than Michael Porter Jr.
And healthier.
Health. That's the thing. Health with him. If he's healthy, he has a tremendous upside.
I like him, and I think it was a good trade for both teams, personally. Yeah. Because eventually you're going to have to pay Cam Johnson, and I don't think the Nets wanted to do that. And they get a guy who is established, not a superstar. I'm sorry. Porter's not a superstar. But an established star who's on a contract that's manageable. And if he doesn't perform, you don't got to resign him. So I think that it's a win-win for the Nets, but I just don't think Denver did enough to dethrone OKC. I just don't think it.
Yeah. I'm of the same belief. You have Jamal Murray who's, when he's on, he's on. But he's got that hamstring history.
Yep.
And who's behind him? Russell didn't come back, so.
Which they should have did, I thought. But
I thought it was a no-brainer.
Maybe it was a cap thing or something. I don't know. But I thought they should have brought him back.
Now, how do you like a team like, well, we'll talk about the Lakers in a little bit, but the Clippers?
You got to give Coach Lou his due, but – again, I mean,
he added pieces. Chris Paul. He added a John Collins. He added a Brooke Lopez.
I mean, Chris Paul is long in the tooth, brother. I mean,
I agree.
I'm sorry, but I don't even see him as a factor, brother. Like, I mean, I wouldn't. He doesn't help anything, honestly. I mean, he's going to be a veteran. I would go with the John Collins, but. I just don't think they got enough to compete. And Kawhi is always a hit or miss, man. So Ty Lue going to do his thing again because he's a great coach. He really is. I just don't think the Clippers can do much. I don't.
Yeah. I'm of the same feeling. They got center locked down with Zubat, James Harden. Only thing with James Harden, man, come to playoffs, man, he turns into a different player.
Yeah, we see that.
Yeah, a lot of places we've seen that. So,
ask the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, yes. And speaking of the Rockets, I'll throw this question out. With Fred VanVleet now out, you know he's out with a torn ACL. Yeah, yes. Do you add a Russell Westbrook?
I would. I would, because I think Houston is the only team on paper. And I didn't mention them. I mentioned Denver because Denver did it last year. Yeah. On paper, Houston's the only team that could dethrone the defending champs, OKC.
Yeah.
I didn't mention them again because paper doesn't pan out to on-court productivity.
Yes.
But if you ask me on paper, the Rockets could potentially be right there. And with no VanVleet, that goes out the window. So I would have signed up with the Westbrook. Yes. I would have signed him because I think he's capable of still starting and giving you 30 minutes. The guy can still play. He's not going to shoot you to a championship, but he can give you energy, defense, rebounding. You know, I think they should go after him ASAP.
Now, are you of the opinion that with him there and with KD there would be an issue?
I don't know. I think they buried that hatchet. So I'm not worried about a chemistry thing. If they don't sign him, you got to kind of think maybe that's the reason. Because to me, with no VanVleet, it's a no-brainer. So, you know, it's going to be hard to really say what's happening.
Yeah. I think so, too. And if there is an issue, you pull them both, you know, your management, front office, you put them in a room, have them hash out their stuff right then and there, you know?
Yeah, you got to do it that way, actually. You got to do it that way, yeah.
Because you got to remember this, too. KD's coming in as a different person. Russell Westbrook's coming in there as a different person. More matured, you know, they've been around, so on and so forth. So these are different people now. So your goal is to get that gold ball. Whatever it takes to get that gold ball.
And the reason why I think it would work too, good point, brother. You got to remember, this got to be mentioned too. Kevin Durant's legacy is on the line here. You know, I think that gets overlooked. He's forced trades almost everywhere he's been, brother. Let's be honest. And why I think, personally, what I'm saying is no shot. I don't think it's a bigger Durant fan than me. I believe if he just had a little bit more thicker skin, he could have been in the conversation for greatest of all time. I truly believe that. With his skill set, I don't think he's a better player. The toughness is an issue, but skill set-wise, there's nobody better. There isn't.
Right.
But now, if you look at it, he forced his way to Houston. He goes there, they flank out. You know, I mean, it's going to start to look like, I'm not there yet. But I've been hearing a lot of people talk around saying, he can't win without a loaded Warriors team. And you're going to have to look and say, he couldn't get it done in OKC. He didn't get it done in Brooklyn. He got shellacked in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So at some point, you got to start saying, I don't know. Again, yeah. I'm not saying that's the case. And if I had to choose, I would say he does get it done in Houston because I think he's that kind of player. But when you look at the history of him, you got to bring that question up. So I think he's willing to do anything he can to make it work. At least I know I would.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think the biggest stain on his resume is what happened in Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
Because they really had a shot, especially when they had Harden, all three of those guys.
They had a shot. You're right.
Yeah. And for that to totally fall apart, that's a stain.
Yeah.
That's a stain that he has to overcome. Yeah. Will they keep him out of the Hall of Fame? Of course not.
No way.
But you're talking about your ranking amongst the best of the best.
Right. Like I just said, he would be – it's not wild to call him a top 10 player. It's not wild to call him that.
Yeah.
Even now. They won't say he's not wild. I mean, he probably won't crack top 10 for most people, but it's not outrageous to say that. Somebody say he's top 10 player all the time. That's how good of a talent he is.
Yeah. I agree with that. So – you and I are on the same page. Russell Westbrook, come to Houston. Well, come back to Houston. Remember, he played in Houston before.
He played in Houston before, exactly.
Yeah, so he's coming in a different role. I think he's okay with it.
Wait, have they signed him?
No. I kicked around this idea on my training camp episode, so I've been putting it out there. So we'll see. I put it in the atmosphere, hoping that it works out, so I can rant and rave about it being right. So, all right, and then the Lakers, LeBron James. Is this his? First of all, let's talk about his big announcement and how people got upset about that. We had the announcement, and it ended up him pushing this liquor, Hennessy.
I heard Stephen A. comment about this, and I can't say he's wrong. At first, I thought, is that could have got a little riff going? Because, like, why is he on there talking about this and making this an issue? Who gives two craps? Mm-hmm. But when I listen to it, because you got to listen to people before you dismiss it, he had a point. You're trying to compete in L.A. for a championship, and you're pushing that. He calls him the second greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
I might wind up agreeing with that title too, by the way, because I still got MJ as my number one. It's not a good look. It's not a good look because he's already rich beyond his dreams. So it's not like he needed to do it to get some cash. So you get it if a young rookie does that or somebody who's not as established as LeBron. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's going to go down possibly, and some people book as the greatest. So to be pushing that in an announcement, it definitely was a little bit of a black eye, I think. What's your thoughts on that, G?
I just thought it was so funny. Everybody's getting all riled up and thinking, oh, he's going to make that announcement. He's retiring. Then it turns out being brown liquor. I'm like, what in the world? That's why I didn't go crazy about it. I was like, okay, he's making an announcement. I'll hear about it in a clip or whatever. But when it turned out that, I was like, okay, he fooled y'all once again. Because I'm thinking about the decision.
I know. He went to Miami. I know.
That stuck out in my head, the decision. Yeah. So. But nonetheless, LeBron, is this his last season? He's entering season number 23.
Unprecedented.
And before you answer, here's his numbers from last year. 24.4 points per game. 8.2 assists, 7.8 rebounds he averaged.
Holy moly. Those numbers are better than some superstars that are 15 years younger than him. I'm going to answer that question, but I think another question needs to be asked. Should he even retire? But to answer your question, do I think it's his last season? I'm going to say no or yes, and as I learned in improv, he'll do it if they look bad. I think if they compete, he comes back for another year. If he can still compete, I think he keeps playing. I mean, he's already in the record books. I don't think anybody's going to catch it. But then again, he don't have to play for anything. He's already, again, arguably the best player to ever play the game. Yeah. So he doesn't need to play. He definitely doesn't need the money.
No.
So he has to be playing because he loves the game. So when people get all upset and down on LeBron, I'm like, the guy is playing because he loves the game, man. Because there's no other reason to play for him.
Yeah.
But my hunch, I can't answer it yes or no. I think it depends on the year he has and the year the Lakers have. I think that's the determinant we see at 24th season.
Yeah. Yes. I think what happens between now and maybe the end of December, I'll say that. If they're looking good, if they're amongst the top six teams, maybe into January as well, because you got to think before the trade deadline, I think he's okay as far as being a Laker. I think he remains. But if they're somewhere fighting for a play, you know, amongst the play-in teams, I think he's out of there.
Yeah, I think so. But I think he'll retire. I think he'll push a trade. I don't think he wants to end his career on a losing note. So, yes. So I mean, again, he has nothing to prove. So, either way, his legacy won't be tainted. But I don't think this is the same kind of scenario as Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, I think, has to do good things in Houston. I don't think LeBron has to do anything good this year to still be right where he's at. But I think his competitive spirit and wanting to end on a winning note probably makes him say, hey, you know, thank you very much to the Lakers if they're not winning.
Yeah. I definitely feel that. And look, I mean, in the West right now, you have OKC. Probably Denver will be in the mix. Probably Clippers. Houston, I guess.
Don't leave out San Antonio, you know.
You think San Antonio's a team on the rise?
I don't think they're contenders, but I think they could. I think they're that sixth team. I think they can avoid the play-in. I do.
Now, remember,
when we stay healthy,
De'Aaron Fox, they're not going to have him at the start of the season. So he's
oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't think they get him back until December.
Change that.
Yeah.
Change that. I wasn't aware he was out.
Yeah. Remember, he had that finger injury. I don't think he's fully recovered from that. I don't know. Yeah, so.
I didn't even know you were going to miss time. That's good. That's what I'm going to
tell. Yeah, he may not be ready at the start. So.
Then that means at best playing for them.
Yes, for sure. So, so if you were to look at OKC again, Denver, Clippers, Memphis, what's your impression of Memphis right now?
You know, they got talent. Losing Bane is huge. Bane was huge.
They did bring in a seasoned veteran like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I mean, he's not.
He's not Bane.
No, he's not. I don't think it helps, brother. I don't.
But I think now they're looking for that kind of production from a second year guy, Jalen Wells.
Yeah, and I don't think the signs point that he can hold that kind of torch, brother. I'm not sure. I like him. I like him. But when you ask somebody to play number two or number three.
Yeah. He'll be number three because Ja you'll have and also Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, what's your impression of Ja coming into this season?
Well, he's always going to be a top player in the league. He's a great talent. Whether his head's in the game or not, it's another story. But just to mention about when you said Wells, you essentially would be comparing Wells to either Mikal Bridges or Anunoby, who on any given night will be the Knicks' third option, right?
Yeah.
Has Wells done anything to warrant that title? So that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I hitch my wagon to him. Now, John Moran is going to be awesome, so he's a safe bet. I mean, whether he stays healthy or not, and focus, another story. But John Moran, you need more. You need more. You need more than John Moran.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Jaren Jackson's the answer either.
Well, they just gave him that max deal.
They did.
Yeah. What was it, $250 million?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of have to because nobody's knocking down the door to play in Memphis. But, I mean, you know, talk about season opportunity. He did that there.
Yeah. And I think they had no other choice. It's not like they were dealing him anywhere.
No.
And who else was going to give him that type of money?
And like I said, who's knocking down the door to play in Memphis? So not like you got free agents saying, I want to play here.
There's that. Yeah. So we talked about Memphis. So, yeah, I think the Lakers have a shot amongst the top six. And Luka. Now, I think Luka's going to have a heck of a season. I think he's going to have a heck of a season over there for the Lakers.
I think so. I think he's going to have, well, I don't know if they'll have the record to warrant this, but they can have a good record. He's an MVP candidate. I think he's going to be one. Time will tell. But I think he's going to have that kind of season. So I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think that kind of season for him is very possible. Now, if they're losing, obviously that's not going to happen. But I think, really, if they're competitive and avoiding the play-in, keep your eye on him for having an MVP season.
I think he's super motivated from how he left Dallas. You see him on the cover of Men's Fitness because of the weight he lost. So I think he comes in there like a house on fire. I think he balls out. And what he does, holds the key for the Lakers. Because what LeBron gives you, that's gravy.
And I think, let's be honest, LeBron got one foot out the door no matter how many more years he plays. So they got to ride the Luka train. They got to.
Yeah.
So the Lakers aren't going to go as far as Luka takes them. Now, LeBron is just, first of all, LeBron, you know what you're going to get with him. You never worry what LeBron going to give you.
Right.
You know, you got to worry what Luka's going to give you. He produces, but is he going to take that leap to leadership? Because when LeBron is out of here, it's completely his team. Some people say it's his team now. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think LeBron producing how he's producing, you can say he's a sidekick. I just can't call LeBron a sidekick with the level he's producing. So I think it's still LeBron, personally. But in any day now, any day or any year, is Luka's team. So I think he has to be ready. I think he had to rise to the occasion.
Right, right. Now, what's your impression of the addition of DeAndre Ayton at center?
Oh, man, I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer in Ayton. I'm not. I think it's an upgrade from what they had, if you ask me that. But I don't think he makes that much of a difference to put them to catapult them to a different level than they were last year. I really don't think he is. I could be wrong. But, I mean, Portland gave up on him for a reason.
Yeah.
They need the help they can get.
And then remember, prior to that, Phoenix gave up on him.
I was getting ready to say that. So
that's
a team like Portland, who similar to Memphis, nobody's knocking down the door to play for.
And they need everyone.
That's what I'm saying. And you figure Little went back, that's where he started at. Right. Yeah. So, but nobody else said, hey, I want to go play in Portland.
Right.
So you look at that and you're giving up a talent, because Ayton is a talent. So the fact that you're giving him up says they don't believe in possibly the work ethic or the level of skill that he's going to bring to get him to the next level. So I'm not sure how much the Lakers struck gold by getting him.
It's always been a motor thing with him. Can his motor get revved up? Now, can J.J. Redick get through to him to get his motor running? That's the question.
But then that's like saying – he going to do something Chauncey Billups couldn't do. Sometimes different voice matters, but I kind of think Billups is a better coach than J.J. Redick, in my opinion. Not that I'm knocking Redick. I think Redick is fine. But I think Chauncey Billups, what he's doing there with literally almost nothing, is commendable. So if it didn't work over there, I don't know, brother.
I actually think Portland will – take a step ahead. I think they could be a play-in team. Portland can be.
I think they can.
Yeah. I think they can be a play-in team. Bringing in a savvy veteran like Drew Holiday, I love that. I love that for them. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Here, I see him and Chauncey being on the same page.
Absolutely.
So,
two similar guards in some ways when Chauncey played, be honest.
You got a point there. You got a point there. Very good defender. Holiday is vastly underrated. He's one of those guys when his career is over and could there be a call from Naismith for him to enter in? I don't think right away, like first ballot, but the guy has won – championships in two different places.
Listen, I actually wanted the Knicks to try to get him. I thought Knicks should try to get him.
Oh. Oh, yeah. now backing up Brunson.
Yeah, could you imagine him backing up Brunson? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, then I'll be saying the Knicks could have a chance to win 65 games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he has that kind of impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mind you, he too is kind of long in the tooth, but.
Yeah, but his productivity is still there. So yeah. He could be long in the tooth if you're producing. Chris Paul kind of fell off to analogy we were talking about earlier. He's clearly lost multiple steps.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Holiday, I mean, obviously he's a step or two slower, but he's not far off, brother, from right. What he always was. So different type of decline there.
Right. So good stuff. Good stuff here. I think we ran long enough. Trying to find these clips here. I think I'm going to have to give me 1 second. I got one of my rants here. This one is this one is Draymond talking about the Knicks. Draymond likes to talk about the Knicks. He likes to get clicks on his, you know, he has the podcast, right? Omar, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. No, I was saying he has his podcast and he likes to bring up the Knicks on his podcast. So
yeah, he does.
This is me talking about him as far as him speaking on his this is a little funky podcast. Give me 1 second. Let me set this up. Hang on 1 second. I'm a media player. Samsung Music. Let me find Samsung Music. But yeah, so the season ahead, I'm looking forward to it. Next Wednesday, I believe.
Wednesday, not this coming. I'm not this coming Wednesday. The following.
Next, yeah, the following Wednesday.
And they kick it off against the Cavs, which I like that.
Yeah,
the top two teams should kick it off. I love it.
Yeah. Right. Right out the gate, they're getting tested.
Right out the gate, both teams getting tested. Right out the gate.
Right. Media player, video player. Let me find my video player. Give me 1 sec. Player. I know I've got a video player on this. And it's media. Okay, I'm going to try and play it from my files. Give me 1 sec. Okay. Videos. Let me see if I could get this to play. Okay. This is not it. Hold it. Yeah, this is him.
Oh. And he basically said on his podcast, I have nothing else to do. You want to know why he have nothing else to do, Draymond? You want to know why? Because you let your team down this year. When you laid hands on Rudy Gobert, putting him in the headlock. When you swung around and hit Joseph Nurkic, thus getting suspended indefinitely. So, Draymond, those 25 games, and not to mention the one game where you went at it with a referee, over a call, and you couldn't let it go. You had to keep going, and you got yourself ejected from that game. Thankfully, they won.
Yeah, so that's me going off on Draymond. That's two seasons ago. Remember when he missed all those games?
Yeah.
He missed the first set of games where he headlocked Rudy Gobert.
I remember.
And then now, what did he say about the Knicks? He likes to talk about the Knicks. He likes to downgrade the Knicks and what the moves they're making. Mind you, you got a whole team that you need to worry about. You worry about the Knicks. So,
and the thing is with that, I researched the comment. Me personally, I like Draymond Green. I think every team could use a player like him. I think that it's a shame sometimes he just doesn't watch his mouth. Because I think that...
No, he doesn't.
I think he's, dare I say, underrated. I actually think, believe it or not, I would like the Knicks to have him on the team. I'd welcome that.
I'm good, brother.
I know you never really been a fan, but I am though.
Yeah.
That's the time we'll differ. I think he's a winner. I think he's one of the best defenders in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I think he knows what it takes to get it done. So I may not agree with his approaches and some of his basketball antics, but
his antics no good.
Yeah, it's no good. But I'm a fan. I don't like to knock in my Knicks stuff, but I'm a fan. And a little surprising, you know, because his old coach is now our coach. You would think he would kind of lighten up with that. Be honest, because he had a good relationship with Mike Brown when they were there.
Well, this was from a couple of seasons back. So, those comments were from a couple of seasons back. Okay. So, yeah, but no good for him. And then, of course, Stephen A., you know, I like to get on him because he says a lot of out of pocket stuff, too. I'll play one. Yeah, this thing ain't cooperating today. I had these clips set up. This is Stephen A. going soft on Draymond. So take a listen to this. And you know he likes to go hard. He goes hard after Kawhi Leonard calling him the, what's that he calls him? The something about superstar. The most kind of selfish, to be honest, he kind of calls him. But here's him going soft on Draymond.
Everybody's quick to talk about everybody else's injuries, but the Knicks injuries, we don't talk about that. Nonsense. Utter nonsense. And a disgrace. Anyway, so I'm going to leave it alone. And Stephen A. Smith, Stephen A. Smith, I am so sick of you treating Draymond with kid gloves. I am so sick of it. Oh, I'm so disappointed in what he said, but he has a right. Come on, man. Get some kahunas, man. Come on. He is wrong for that, and you should have mentioned the injuries that I'm talking about, the injuries that the Knicks had to overcome. But no, you want to coddle up to Draymond. Oh, yeah. And you even seen it with the suspension. Again, he says, I don't want to say he has an anger issue because it paints. Nah, he has an anger issue. Let's be straight about that.
Yeah, this was right around the playoffs. Now I remember where it was from. It was from the playoffs, and a lot of people was calling the Knicks run a fluke. But the Knicks had injuries just like the other teams. So Stephen A., for
this
some
past,
reason.
This past playoffs?
No, 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago, okay.
2 years ago. So, and that's the thing. He likes to, because he knows Draymond, so he likes to go easy on him. But he has smoke for everybody else. Why you don't have smoke for Draymond? Because, you know, he's got a relationship with him, so.
Well, listen, I just said that he's out of pocket with a lot of his Knick comments. He's like a Knick hater for some reason. But I'm just talking about the way he plays. Outside of the antics that are unnecessary, I'm going to be honest. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Draymond. Not what he says and some of the antics, but the way he plays the game and the way he prides himself on defense is something every team could use. I'll leave it at that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll leave it at that because we disagree about everything else when it comes to him, like on how he projects himself. But definitely a fan of how he plays the game.
Yeah. No question. Yeah, I'm trying to find this other stuff. And then, you know, I had the episode where I went hard at Stephen A. over the LeBron stuff. Remember the confrontation?
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because my whole thing was.
And hopefully they squash that, man, because, I mean, you don't want to see that. A great personality like Stephen A., sportscaster, you know, broadcaster, what have you, and one of the greatest of all times. You just don't want to have that little tension there. So I'm hopeful they fix that.
Yeah. And then the whole thing for me was the subject could have went to bed until Stephen A. showed up on Gilbert Arena's podcast. Gil's Arena. He was dressed like Nino Brown.
Yeah, he should have left that alone.
Yeah. That's when LeBron went. He said, I got to deal with this. And he went on Pat McAfee.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that.
No, you can't do it.
You can't do it like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not going to keep you on here too long, but I thank you for coming on, brother. I appreciate
thank you,
it. Brother.
Thank you. My pleasure. It's about time.
Yes.
It only took 299 episodes, so I came on.
Well, there you go. Now tell the folks what you're doing with your AAU league that you're in.
Definitely. We're called Putnam Wild. We're the Wild team in New York. We're trying to do it up. We got from ages from the third to the high school level. I'm coaching the eighth and ninth grade team. So pretty lot of fun, bringing out energy, trying to get our name out there. So Punting and Wild.
Okay.
Come on, now that's online support.
Now that's men and, well, boys and girls?
Boys and girls. Yeah, boys and girls. I'm coaching the boys, but boys and girls. We have boys and girls team, yes.
Okay, good. Punting
and Wild, New York Wild.
Okay. I'll definitely have you text that to me. I'll put it in the show notes.
Thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, guys. Big things, so that's going to be, huh?
Keep What's doing that? Big things, and I'll come back for the 600 show. maybe I'll come back sooner than that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have you sooner than that. But, brother, I appreciate you coming on for this one.
Definitely.
All right, guys. Definitely. Yes. All right, so I thank you for listening, as always. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find my videos, my clips as well. You'll find that there. Also on YouTube. I'm on the YouTube tonight, in fact, live. I just saw one of my buddies come on here in the mix with Leah B, giving her a shout out. She's watching, so I appreciate her and everybody that's watching. Also, guys, I am on all the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you watch your podcast, I'm there. Also, social media, Instagram, TikTok, I do my shorts there. Also, some Blue Sky, some Facebook. I'm on Facebook tonight live, so hopefully you guys are watching there. I don't do Twitter. I don't get down with Twitter or X. You know, I got my reasons for that, but there you go. So, well, I thank you for listening. As always, also support the show, guys. Hit my donate button on my website. There you can find my button for PayPal, for Buy Me a Coffee, for Spotify Donate, my Cash App. I always leave it in the scroll as well. And that's GD, that's Sports New, $ GD, that's Sports New. And then email me, guys, all things basketball GD. At outlook.com. That's how you can reach me. I thank you for listening. As always, guys, we'll talk soon. Take care.